3, 2, 1. Hey!
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Download Youth Ministry podcast, episode number 287. Doug Fields here with the beautiful Katie Edwards.
Hi. Oh, sorry. I was expecting that to be about me.
My bad. I just thought I wasn't an
Mr. Talk a Lot, Josh Griffin.
Hi.
How are you?
Josh talks a lot.
And our senior pastor,
Harry
extraordinaire,
McCarris,
with roots back to the beginning of ska music the country.
All the way in the 60s.
Inspired by reggae and a blend of Creole.
We have
Welcome to Jamaica, man.
We have Dr. Supertones.
What's happening right now?
Kenneth Jason Carson, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much.
Good.
Joshua
Welcome to the show,
Alexander Griffin.
This is a show brought to you by Orange. Go to theorangeconference.com. We'll all be at the Orange Conference
at the end
of April.
I'm excited.
And
Rethinkleadership.com.
Is that what it is?
Is that a thing?
I don't
know. It's for the senior pastors.
Oh, yeah, it is. Rethinkleadership.com.
We don't know about that.
It doesn't cost anything to pay attention, gang.
Hey. That may officially be the dumbest line ever said, ever said on the podcast.
And everyone in the room is laughing.
No,
I like
move on.
This game.
No, I do laugh at dumb stuff. Anyway, Orange is creating a little sister conference right across the street. So if
there
you're
you
a senior pastor, you could bring your whole team. The whole team could be over where we are having all the fun.
So much fun over the youth side.
Youth and children's ministry. Anybody in the family space where the senior pastors will be across the street. At the John Maxwell Leadership Center, where you can expect conversations and connections with people like Andy Stanley, Reggie Joyner, John Acuff.
Sorry, Andy. Sorry, Reggie.
And
sorry,
Brad
John.
Lominick.
You know, it's going to be pretty cool. That's a pretty good lineup.
Yeah.
I give that
pretty good.
I mean,
I give that an A.
Yeah.
Never heard of the Brad guy.
Recorded on your iPhone.
You've heard of Catalyst. He runs Catalyst.
Well,
he either runs it or started. I can't remember.
Yeah, Brad's a big deal. No.
Either
Google that.
Or feels really awesome.
Who started Catalyst?
Who knows how to use the internet?
He did? Brad. Okay. Yeah. Great. He started.
Are you going to Catalyst?
Who knows how to Google?
Somebody track down the internet.
Are you going?
Yeah, I'm going.
Great. It's at Mariners.
Yeah.
I know. You know what? It's hosted at Mariners.
I'm bringing my new worship pastor.
And here's what I don't get.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we should talk about it off the air. I don't get why they don't.
I would like to talk about it now.
Well, I don't.
No. Look at that.
Well, you already brought it up. Now, all of our listeners, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just think. No, I'm not.
Good.
No, I just got.
Filter.
I got scolded
Doug's
by Allison.
Getting old
today.
He must be becoming a senior pastor.
She gave me the finger and not the middle one. She gave me
the wagging finger.
Yeah. The waggy finger.
She's,
did you, Allison?
She's actually now in touch with our lawyers.
I appreciate it. We just got a call from legal.
We have a
legal says
a live show right
here
in our lawyer's office.
Okay.
Hey,
usually I listen to Holy Spirit.
I wonder what Doug was going to say.
But Allison is right up there. I get it. I totally get it.
Here's the deal.
Somebody send an email. What were you going to say that time, Doug? All right, go ahead.
Yeah. About Catalyst and being at Mariners Church.
Yeah. How awesome it is.
Okay.
Yeah. I just hope after the show when Allison and I talked, we were actually thinking the same thing, and she knew what I was going to say, and that's why.
And,
and then she gets a raise.
Probably.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Orange Conference, go to rethinkleadership.com for the senior pastors. If you really want to be in the center of God's will, you'll sign your kids up for a student leadership conference.
That's right.
This summer, three of them, one in California at Mariners.
Yeah, don't miss out.
Where
which
Catalyst
you have no opinion
is.
On whatsoever.
No,
that's excellent.
Yeah. Bring a lot of people there. It's also in Atlanta.
Yes, hot Atlanta.
And it's also at Granger in Indiana.
Yeah, near
just
Napanee.
Just a stone's throw from Chicago.
Or South Bend, or about 4.5 hours from Detroit.
What about Wisconsin, where you were?
About 4.5 hours from Wisconsin.
Did you drive 4.5 hours to go to church?
No, I was in Michigan as a youth pastor. We drove about 30 minutes.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But I would sneak down. True story. I love Granger. I'm sure I've said this before, but.
You have.
We're from California, so we don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
When you say Michigan, I think Wisconsin.
You guys wouldn't believe this. There are other states.
Indiana?
I know. It's crazy. There's other states than California.
California, not California.
Anyhow, so next question. Here we go.
You were going to say
something.
Oh, you're not going to say? Allison gave you the finger?
Ooh, wagging finger. Not the wagging finger. Hey.
Podcast title.
Well, here's the deal. Mark Eads, who we love Mark. He writes in often. He's an incredible junior high leader. And he's about the only person who brings junior hires to student leadership conference, although others can. He makes them, sets the bar high. No, that was not a shot at you.
A little
that
bit.
Was not. No, it wasn't. It was.
I think it was an unintentional shot.
No, no, that's.
I feel fine about our relationship. Go ahead.
I do too.
He's gonna have to, he's getting the finger from Allison.
No, listen. If you want to bring people to student leadership, I will make you a special deal. Josh's high school ministry, no full price.
Full price.
Yeah,
full price was, for my people.
Yeah. Because here's the deal. Mark raises the bar. He makes them all apply. He makes them be nominated in junior high. It's a very,
very
big
cool.
deal. So he's writing to say, just want to let you know that after 2 years of encouraging our high school leader to check out SLC, studentleadershipconference.com, he's coming with a group this June and with my group of middle schoolers. How
That's
cool
so
is it that the middle school influence... Others
leading
love
up.
This.
Isn't
That's
that how
exactly
it works?
Right.
I'm confused. That's how it works.
Allison,
that's how it works here at Saddleback. It's pretty much
we are good.
Anything Josh wants to do in high school ministry, he says,
"Katie, can I
hey,
do it?
Katie, what do you think? I have this idea. I want to do a service with young people.
I'm behind
people.
You 100%.
Hey, we have maybe the greatest sponsors in the history of this show, because in the whole history of this show, we've only had these sponsors.
That's
we haven't lost a sponsor yet. Which is surprising
who knew?
To me.
Who knew?
Maybe we need to raise the price is what we need to
I
do.
I think $11 and a Snickers bar seems fair.
All right. This just in from Allison and the lawyers. This is from Youth Ministry 360. They have an event. They have a Disciple Now, D Now, weekend or youth ministry retreat. Can have an incredible impact on your students, your youth ministry, and your church. We think planning and executing your D-Now or retreat weekend should be intentional, easy, and streamlined. So contact Event Resources, which is about helping you do just that through powerful curriculum, all the student resources you need, plus built-in tools and training for your small group teachers. There are seven themes to choose from. Seven?
Seven, Doug. That's right.
Oh, my gosh. And each theme comes with a student journal,
so
4-week follow-up devotions, and customized T-shirts as well. Check that out at Youth Ministry 360.
That's pretty cool.
It's very comes cool. with T-shirts or with designs that you send to a T-shirt place?
I'm just reading what
okay.
what I was saying. I don't know.
That's cool. Oh, I like that.
It's pretty cool.
That's right.
Man.
It's very cool.
Comes with T-shirts.
There you go.
All right, let's close in prayer. We pretty much,
yeah,
that was the podcast.
Nailed that one.
And
wow.
Azusa
it,
Pacific
nailed
University, it. If you want your master's in youth ministry, let's do it. I'll get you it for free.
Go to APU.
No, just got the finger from Allison.
No, legal. Legal just shut that one down.
Not free.
No,
not free.
No, actually, full price.
Not free.
Full price.
Great degree, full price.
Here's what we'll do.
We'll okay. do full price.
You, for you get a degree, you get the master's in youth ministry that I teach, and we'll hang out. All right?
That's nope, we got to know on that. We got to know on that.
Your calendar's full. She
it's
says
full
Doug.
Price, and
and no
never
Doug.
You'll
no,
never
no.
see
Doug.
She says you cannot commit to that.
No, you know.
That's funny.
What happened?
You're on your own.
All right.
You might not even really get a degree. Okay, here we all go. Right. We're gonna lose sponsors now.
Yeah.
We decided
no,
that.
We're not.
Let's answer a question.
All right, here we go. This is
who's the host of the show today? This one, right?
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, you know why Katie wants to answer this question? Because it says sex with
sex
middle
with
school.
Middle school. That's the title of this one.
Please don't read my name.
Please don't read my
don't
name.
Read my
please
name.
Joe.
No kidding, Kenny. One of my volunteers. No.
Please don't read my name. My name is Kenny. And
here's the question. Hey, guys, how do you handle talking about sex with a middle school group? It's difficult because you have sixth graders who some of them just aren't there yet. Not many, I know, but there are some. And you've got eighth graders who are way past needing to talk about it. Any advice? So let's do this. Let's just go around and anybody who's currently working with middle school kids talks about this.
Well,
I'm not.
Yeah,
I got one in my house.
There you go.
But I'd like the expert to talk.
Katie,
what
it's all
got?
You. Sex with middle school. Go.
Go. I was laughing about something else.
Title of the show.
Of
oh, you guys. So inappropriate.
So
that's
that
how we're going to title this show. 287. So inappropriate.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah.
All right.
Can you imagine it written on the face?
A couple of things.
Stop.
Well, I think sixth grade is not too young to talk about sex. I think a couple of things.
Let's role play that.
Okay,
that's I'm a sixth grader.
No, come I on. Don't want to.
I'm a.
I don't want to role play.
Okay, sorry. Okay,
have we ever going off the track, bro?
We should.
Let's go.
We should do a
close cut. Together. Close together.
Okay, we're back. We're back, everybody.
We're back.
Okay.
Wow. Sorry, our footage somehow got lost from the last 20 minutes. But we're back. And
for
we
the
have
record, there was no role playing.
And there was no cut either. No. So let's go. Katie.
All right. Here you go, okay. Katie. How do you
talk about it?
Okay, a couple things with talking about sex to middle school. I mean, it's important that you begin this conversation. I would say with middle school, it's important to communicate to parents first. So I think writing, your outlines ahead of time, making sure parents understand what you're communicating and what that, what that's going to entail. I think that's a big part of the process is to include parents.
So how do you
and
do,
small
do you do
leaders.
That? Just go practical. Are you sending that
yeah,
to them ahead
so
of time or
sending,
afterwards?
I
an email,
out,
a letter.
I send out an email with a parent letter and then with my outlines attached so
wow,
they can see
awesome.
Ahead of time
Ooh.
What I'm teaching on. And I just give them a few, also in that email, a couple prompting questions to, and really encouraging parents to have that conversation with their kids first. So if they haven't talked about mechanics and things like that, because our talk is usually a 3-week sex series talk. Let me define that. Hang on. I don't teach health class in my sermon. It's and so I encourage parents to, if they have not talked to their kids about sex, about, kind of those types of conversations, that they should have those conversations ahead of time. What's happening?
You don't know how hard we're trying not to. Like, I'm not making eye contact.
I was at the Audi dealership the other day.
You guys teach sex all the time.
No, I know. I just...
Well, see...
But not to mechanics.
The mechanics
see, when you're changing
of sex,
the oil.
How to.
First.
Okay.
Tune up.
Come on, Katie. You were doing so good.
Pull
until
it together, Katie.
I'm doing
Jeez,
great.
Katie.
You
wow.
are not.
Come on, Katie.
I'm doing
no,
fine.
No, you are.
You
you're,
are not.
You guys are totally on
board. Yeah, for those of you watching
senior pastor,
the show, yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah, if you watch the show, you'll see that
there's one stoic.
I was a rock. Just looking down, yeah. Listening carefully, not wanting to make eye contact.
You made me break. I looked over and you're like,
"Oh my gosh!"
Okay, so where you left off was you were at the car dealer. I forget what was next.
Okay, so you've sent the outline to the parents.
Sent the outline to the parents. Encourage parents to, if they have not talked to their kids about sex yet, to talk to their kids about sex. Because my outlines are more about what God's plan for sex is, how if we're asking kids to wait until marriage to have sex because that's God's plan. How do they wait well? So giving them really practical things as middle schoolers to understand that it's not just about the sex piece. It's about the honoring God piece and what does it look like to remain pure and some of those things. And for a middle schooler thinking about marriage 15 years out, that's really, giving them a plan for waiting well and why, what the reward in that is.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of non-sex but related to sex things that you need to introduce to middle schoolers. I think helping them understand God's plan is really important. Giving them tools right now to begin to understand their own sexuality and some of those things. Also addressing a lot of, beginning to plant seeds about addressing sexuality as a whole and some of the different ways the world views sexuality and mm-hmm. sex and some of those things. I think those are appropriate and okay conversations for middle schoolers. And they're having those conversations starting in fifth grade, sixth grade. They're yeah. coming home. It doesn't matter if they're elementary or middle school. They're beginning to develop sexually. So we have to help them understand that
totally.
And understand that there's no shame in that. And so I think partnering with parents of sixth graders is really important mm-hmm. because a lot of parents of sixth graders haven't talked to their kids about how sex works and just some of the physical aspects of sex.
Yeah.
So really helping parents on the front end understand how important that conversation is from them is a big deal. I think with seventh and eighth graders, it's a really big deal to help them understand God's plan and what that means for them. So.
Yeah. One of my biggest lessons early on was to know your audience better, to know your culture. I mean, I came out of Supertones ministry where, you could say things from the stage so much easier than when I went to a church that was mainly based out of a private Christian school that kids that got funneled into the youth group. And so at that church, you know, I remember the first night I come in saying, hey, we're going to talk about everything here. Nothing's off limits. We're going to talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. And so that night I had a mom come up to me and said, just so you know, my child will not be attending this youth group ever again after you said that. And I was like, whoa. But so even though my intentions were good,
sure,
you still got to know your audience, know your culture. Some cultures might
she didn't like rock and roll.
No, she really didn't. So, but I like what you said. I mean, you know, but I remember starting out, maybe if you don't have a big staff or if you're a small youth group just trying to make it week to week and you have to do this, the idea of sending a full organized email with lessons already done and curriculum and all that stuff might be harder for some people. And if it is, you know, take the small steps you can by maybe holding a parent meeting with some questions or just a chance to share your heart a little bit with them and to tell them we're not going to be going into a health class. We're not going to be doing this stuff. Just to affirm them and to so they know where you're heading.
Yeah. Yeah, I would kind of yes and that. I would say tell them what you're not going to cover.
Yes.
Like, hey, we're not going to cover a full in-depth discussion on STDs. I might mention them, but that's going to be something for you to talk about. Or we're not going to cover X, Y, whatever. I think it's just prepare them for what they're not going to hear as well.
Like mechanics.
Because sometimes parents freak out and go, what are they going to tell? And so I think cover what you're not going to cover too. In my own experience, so I have a fifth grader, a sixth grader, and an eighth grader. And I would just say this, please talk about sex in your youth ministry. Because my fifth grader, she needs to hear about it. Her body is awakening. It's my sixth grader, it's awkward. He doesn't want to talk about it. He is alive and well sexually already. My eighth grader definitely needs the support of the church, needs to know God's way. We're doing our best at home. Mm-hmm. We're having ongoing conversations about sex and other opposite sex, same time, all that stuff all the time. Please keep that conversation going in the church. I think if there's any doubt here going, should we be talking about this? The answer is a resounding absolutely yes.
And I think knowing your audience, there are times where you might break them down by class or you might break them down into guys and girls. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of different conversations. There's not just one sex talk. There are ongoing conversations about sexuality because especially in middle school, that's where sexual development begins. And so it might be you break them down by age maybe or something that feels you know comfortable for your audience. I think that's a really important piece of the puzzle. But I think talking to them in middle school is a great time for this conversation to become normal. And I think it's a very normal thing for them to be going through. And there's so many questions. And I have parents every year who are like, I can't believe you're talking about this. I will not be sending my student to this series. And my response back is usually a pushback to that of, gosh, I really wish, you know, your student could sit in on this series. I want to give you all the tools so you know what I'm talking about. But this is an important conversation and here's why. And I totally respect a parent wanting to be on the front end of that conversation with their own student. Like that is so important. But I also think it should be a normal conversation in the church, you know, of this is a great thing that God has created and we want to celebrate this thing. We don't want it to be something that the world has turned it into, twisted and dirty. And, you know, we want it to be something that's celebrated. And here's, you know, the beginning of that conversation. So I'm a fan of it in middle school for sure. I would definitely think maybe wait till maybe the second half of the school year when your kids are a little bit older. So that would be something to think through. It's usually a series I do in May.
It's real practical.
Yeah.
It is. So
what percentage pushback do you get from parents?
I would say, you know, I probably get, you know, maybe 5 to 10 emails about it. And actually this year was my first year I got emails of all different, you know, are you going to be talking about all sorts of different things? Yeah. And so, interesting pushbacks.
Culture's
there too.
Changing. And
a lot of culture stuff. Like I had a parent assume I would be talking about a certain subject that things were, you know, fine and great. And that would be our perspective. And interesting new conversations being opened up in that area too.
And I think even good, well-meaning Christian parents expecting a very, very tolerant, accepting view of all sexualities as well would be very common now, where before maybe that wasn't the case. So I think it's interesting. Some of the pushback you might get might be not stingy and withheld, but instead very open too.
Well, and I think the parent, it's the pushback is an interesting one, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you guys have experienced this too, but like, I hope you're not talking about pornography, because my student doesn't know what that is, and if you talk about it, they're going to get curious, or I hope you're not talking about this, because that's going to expose, they're going to get curious, and I, you know, they're already curious. They already know what a lot of these words are, so let's make this a place that we can talk about those things, you know.
And isn't it crazy too, just parents are scared. Yeah. I mean, I think we can all, to some level, our first kid breaking into that scene, it's a little scary. Now, some parents, way more scary than others. And they just don't know what to do with it. And they just think they have protected their child every day up to this point, and they're thinking to themselves, I can keep this going. And
Helicopter moms.
You got to guide them somehow.
Yeah. That's my nephew, Elliot. Elliot's 22.
Yeah.
Are you 22, Elliot?
Yeah.
Maybe still hasn't had the show talk.
Birds Elliot, and the Bees. Just give you the quick version. When a man,
That's it. The mechanics of doing it.
I'll give you the talk my dad gave me. Son.
Just like that. What are you smoking? I feel like I should be smoking something right now. No?
if you have any questions, you know, talk to me. Talk to your mom. That's pretty much it.
That's good.
Good. Nicely done, Katie.
Yeah, no doubt.
Well done. Sorry that we were little seventh graders at the
time.
I'm
used to it.
I know.
We're just trying to set the tone.
You are my life, so I get it.
This is kind of fun. This was sent in to Allison. This is from one of our DYM authors. His name is Andrew Larson. And he said, I just hired a guy named Drew, because he'd written in a question about making his first hire.
All right.
And he said, I'd known him for a while because he played soccer for my alma mater, and my boys and I were just about at every game. We met last month, and everything just clicked. He started a few weeks ago, and the students are already forgetting that I exist. The other day, I was getting some work done, and two high school boys that have been my dudes since they were in seventh grade showed up in the office. I thought they just wanted to hang out and asked if they wanted to go grab coffee. And they said, oh, sorry, we're actually meeting Drew and going to the movies.
No.
So that's great. I can remember.
It's painful and great.
Yeah. No, it was brutal. It's my Doug Elliott story. Mm. Like, Doug Elliott was an intern, and kids loved this guy. And I can remember, you know, some of the kids that I had relationships with, they'd be like, hey, Doug. They're all excited to see me. I'm like, hey. And they're like, oh, no, Doug Elliott. He'd be like right behind me. And I'm like,
He's setting you up too the whole time. Like, hey, I'm going to be right behind him.
Yeah.
That's right. The best.
I love you, Doug.
So wounding.
Anyway, here's another. He wasn't writing this in, and he doesn't probably know that we're sharing this. So, Allison, if you're mad at this, Andrew, blame Allison.
He says,
I just want to let you know what DYM has meant to my family. My wife and I have three boys, kindergarten and under, with a fourth on the way. And DYM is what makes it possible for my wife to be able to be home with the boys, for us to make ends meet and keep our kids from realizing that pastor's kids are supposed to have no clothes. So today I renewed our annual Disney passes. Never thought I'd be able to do that for my kids before DYM. So I love being able to play a small part in what DYM is doing.
Awesome.
And Tim, which is the guy he does a lot of co-writing with, still can't grasp how or why we've garnered the favor of Doug and Josh. I'm pumped to be a part of the team, blah, blah, blah.
That's cool.
We love these guys.
Nice. Wow.
Josh and I went out to dinner with them one time in Atlanta when we were speaking at a conference, and just we hit it off.
They're just too great.
Are these the guys
dudes
you can't tell apart? Like, you're not sure.
Well,
which
we
one's
can
which
tell them apart. We just tease. I mean, at first, maybe we couldn't.
Yeah,
we know
I'm still not sure which is which. One of them straight laced and has like a bow tie, and the other one has dreadlocks.
Yeah.
It's the most yin and yang
it's fun.
You've ever
it's
seen.
It's fun. Justin, isn't it great? They've great relationship.
They're great.
They're
people.
They're like 2.5 hours apart from each other in Florida, both youth pastors, and so they create content together.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
It's excellent.
Oh, did I meet those guys last year at Orange?
Maybe.
Did
one of them have dreadlocks?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be them. I mean, how many people have dreadlocks these days?
Nice.
Yeah. Think about that.
A lot, I think.
A lot? I don't think there's ever been a lot
Google
of
that.
Dreadlocks.
Yeah, Allison, get us a number.
Allison, find the internet.
Give us a percentage.
So anyway,
stat.
Hey, here's the deal. If you have great stuff, and if you have really, you didn't even have to be great stuff.
Pretty
good
stuff.
Stuff. Yeah. Good stuff that's strong, that works in your ministry, that's sitting on your hard drive. Get somebody to clean it up for you.
Yeah, send it in. Submit it. Become
it
an
in.
Author on DYM.
And our authors do well.
So. Yeah, I mean, Disneyland passes, those aren't cheap.
That's
or Disney
no
World,
joke.
Sorry. Yeah.
That's no joke.
That's no joke.
Totally. There's a picture of Disney World on here.
Oh, that's in a picture.
That's cool.
That's his kid right there.
Oh.
This is from Jeremy Doyle.
Hi, Jeremy.
What's the best approach in talking to a small group leader who is pretty new to the church, who is your friend, and is a parent to two students in your ministry, and is not showing up consistently to class for various reasons, some health, some business, and some just not showing up and not telling anyone? So really, we got the issue of the flaky volunteer.
Dun, 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 dun.
All right. What do you do with a flaky volunteer who's a friend? It's a parent.
Ah, you let it go. They're your friend. Work out.
Oh, my gosh.
Next
just
question.
Keep that bar about as low as we can keep it.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Hey, are they cool? Are they fun? Let it slide.
Oh, my
God. Hey, it works for me.
Totally. That's so great.
Not a bit. That's the answer.
That's right. Justin, who's sitting over there going, I've worked with Josh, and that's pretty much...
It's called leadership. Right, it's not a bit.
Leadership takes
that's
time.
That's how I was trained.
It's leadership.
Passive aggressively mention it every once in a while.
Here's what Josh does.
It'll work out. Yeah.
Justin, can you talk to him about that? So, Katie, how do you have the difficult conversation? Let's just go to you.
Well, I think if it is a friend, I would say, is there another role they could play? So, you know, if you know they're inconsistent and, but they love you and they love the ministry, but it's just, you know, a matter of maybe the role that you have them in right now is just not the greatest role for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, figure out, can you go to them and just say, hey, I've just noticed this seems to not be working in your schedule, you know, that kind of thing. Maybe can you play this other role that fits a little bit better with who you are? You know, I don't know. I don't think you need to cut someone loose. Maybe it's just figuring out another spot that fits best with who they are, especially if it's someone who's great, but they just can't commit. You know, I think we know a lot of people who are great in the church. We love them. They're our cheerleaders.
Yeah.
So maybe the role is just be our cheerleader. Yeah. You know, be our prayer warrior. Be our, hey, when we need someone, we're going to call on you. You know, I don't know.
Well, and it could be that they don't have anything important to do, so they're not showing up because they're not really mission critical. So maybe it's
totally,
a conversation
a
about,
sign.
Hey, let's talk about why you're not here. And is there something more valuable that we could have you doing? Or maybe they're in a season and you need to talk about the season they're in too.
Totally.
Hey, you haven't been here a little bit. Tell me what's going on. Is this something that is important to you? And tell me what's going on in your life, whatever.
I think it's a lunch conversation, honest and direct.
If it's a first-time offense, or maybe it's not something that's been ongoing, but maybe they don't even know. And maybe as if it's hard when it is a friend. We all acknowledge that. But, boy, if you can just sit down and communicate to them like, hey, you know, can you give them a little challenge? Can you help me out? We've been friends a long time. You know, we're trying to set a bar here for all the leaders, and you know other people are seeing this. We want to. Step it up here, and can you help me out with that? Can you help me lead them, or just give me a challenge?
That sounds like a conversation you've had. Like, I like the tenor of your voice as you describe that, because I'm going, you've done that. You've coached somebody through that.
Because I've let them slide before. I've let those slide before, and it never works out good.
Right.
The longer you sweep stuff under the carpet and ignore it and just feel like, I guess I'll get to that later, it's way more painful for me as a leader.
Yeah.
And then in the end, you know it's bad for them, how it ends up being and resolving. So I think it's always a
best. Don't you think there's a theme of 287 shows that every time we talk about volunteers, it always comes down to
have a conversation.
Step up.
Leadership. Leadership is, you know, I was with these youth workers yesterday, and there's all these sideways conversations happening, and I just said, you guys, that can't happen. You just, big boys and big girls, you guys are paid. This is your job. Have conversations with each other.
Right.
Pull one another in the room and say, hey, this bothered me when you said this. Or I was hurt by this. Or,
that's great.
Hey, can we just have a quick short account and clean it up? And it doesn't matter how old you are. That's just called leadership. And so we need to do that when we're overseeing a group of leaders.
Well, and we also have been around the church long enough to know that that is difficult and it's rare. It's not always modeled well. And we need to set the tone for what that looks like, and we need to model that. Even if it's not part of your church culture, stand up. Don't be passive aggressive. Don't talk behind people's back. Just go to them and take care of it.
And I think if you have a friendship, hopefully that would make it easier.
I agree. Like, I think it should make it easier.
Because then it's like, hey, we're friends. Let's talk this through. Yeah. You know? What's going on?
Fields had an itch.
I hate the show. Grade. I hate the show.
Seventh grade
so
sex
much.
Talk still.
Are we
still
done? Are we done with the show? He's, oh my gosh. I hate
he's
it.
Got an itch.
I hate it. Label Elliot, that one. Just turn us done. Off. What's happening?
This is from Stenson.
And we're back.
McHelleny.
Hey, Stenson.
Stenson McHelleny. Am I saying that right?
Hey.
Katie.
Stenson McHelleny.
He says, my pastor who I work with keeps reminding me that ministry is all about people's perception of me. I disagree with that statement. Am I wrong to disagree? What do you think?
That's a good question.
Ooh. Ministry is all about
there's like
people's
zero context
perception
to that.
Of me.
It's hard to answer that question.
Well, here's what we can say. Perception is fact.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the yeah. beholder. So if Katie thinks Josh is the hardest working youth worker in America,
obviously,
I'm totally trying to
why
get
was
that?
Why was that funny? So if Katie thinks that, and that's
also
the perception,
reality. That is the reality.
Reality.
The perception is truth. Okay, whether that's true or not. Yeah.
Well, at the very least, I think it's fair to say perception matters. If the elders have an opinion of you at your mm-hmm. church, you know, you and the senior pastor, all there is on staff. And they have an opinion, it matters. If
sure.
they have a perception,
that
it
perception
matters.
Matters.
So
yeah.
like it or not, like we can go like, oh, I don't, perception shouldn't matter and only reality, forget it.
Yeah.
It's a real thing and mm-hmm. it matters deeply.
Perception is fact in the eyes of the
yeah.
beholder.
Would I say it is everything that it sounds like he's being told? No, but it's a something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's another question from him. We're assuming Stenson.
Stetson.
Yeah, feels,
Stetson.
Oh, Stetson's a guy. He's like a cowboy.
Like the hat, right? Yeah. Is that a hat? Yeah.
It's a hat or like a cologne or something.
It's a cologne.
He's like,
yes.
It's a cologne. Matter.
Perception
just
matters.
Definitely smokes. If your name is Stetson, you smoke.
All right.
No, you chew.
Or you chew.
All right. When Stenson, let us know if that's actually true. Okay, send your questions in to webshow at downloadyouthministry.com.
That's
webshow at downloadyouthministry.com.
Hey, no wonder they have a perception of him. He smokes and chews. That makes sense. Clean it up, Stetson.
He wears cologne and a cowboy hat. Get
so here's what he says. My church uses the ESV translation for all preaching and teaching. As a youth minister, I have to follow that doctrinal guideline. However, when students graduate into middle school, I feel that giving them an ESV Bible is making it harder for them to understand God's word at their reading level. I keep reminding a NIV Bible to help them read God's word better. I keep reminding that may be a maybe. Help them read God's word better. I keep getting negative responses about it. How do I convince our leadership that middle schoolers need a easier Bible translation to read?
Stop giving out NIV Bibles.
Well, I was going to say, I had the research team of Allison and Hibbard look that up.
It's a good firm.
The ESV is 10th grade reading language.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think the NIV is 9th grade.
Okay. I like the New Living Translation.
Yeah.
But I would say be careful with versions of the Bible, and that is a hill a lot of people want to die on. And as a youth worker,
it's not worth it.
I don't think it's worth it, man.
But I also go, that's great, but if I'm giving a kid a Bible that he or she can't understand, that's why, you know what, get him the 1 minute Bible.
There you go.
The 1 minute Bible.
Where can they find
that? That's the 1minutebible.com.
At dougfields.com. That still sells a lot.
Absolutely.
And it has been for years, and here's why. Because kids can read it. It's at an easy-to-read translation. Yeah. It's a minute a day. It may, you know, it's not going to be ESV or NIV, but that may be one way to get them into. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hide it in a devotional. I like it. Seriously, it's good.
Yeah,
I would just say I just think you got to be careful. People have a pet version of the Bible or a very well grounded reason why they've chosen something. Churches will stand on versions of the Bible. I think have the conversation, push for it, but just. Be careful. Yeah.
And we've all grown up with like it's funny how much things shift because we've grown up, whether it be NIV or New Living. Mm-hmm. So we grow up and we memorize all these passages and
King
know the
James.
Bible. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you go to a church that says, we're going all NASB, ESV. And you're like, gosh, every time I read this, I get frustrated. So if you're at a church and you're trying to streamline it, you know, from the top is saying, we want it kids to graduate into what they know and memorize. That's not the worst thing, mm-hmm. but it's also I like the 1 minute Bible idea. I mm-hmm. like, I don't know. There's got to be balance, but I don't know if it's a hill to die on either.
Yeah,
I think when you're teaching using ESV, you can define some of the vocab for middle school, and that's, you know, you end up doing that anyways when you're teaching
Absolutely.
Middle schoolers. There's so much vocab yeah. you're defining for them. But then, you know, when they're reading the Bible on their own, having a couple of different choices for them, I think is great. You know, so mm-hmm. maybe there's a compromise there of like when you are preaching kind of more formally, maybe you're using ESV, but in maybe small group curriculum or on their own devotional stuff, you could recommend some other things that are easier.
Yeah. When you're reading, you just cut and paste NLT in there. Read it to them. They're not going to know.
They're not going to check that business.
Oh, boy.
I like it. So deception translations.
Whatever. Yeah.
Done.
Just lying when you're teaching and something.
It's worked for me.
All right. Let's do this. Let's check the time. Because Katie's sex answer took a long time.
Yeah, she was.
Well, only because you guys were. Well, never mind.
Well, we'll edit that part out.
That's called a get,
we'll
that part Katie.
When, yes.
That's going to take too long. Okay, here's the. Hey, Mark Hall wrote in a question that I feel like we just answered. But okay. Mark Hall, where you recognize that name from?
He was the lead singer of Casting Crowns.
And he is.
A youth worker coming to studentleadershipconference.com.
No, close.
Orange.
He won our contest.
Oh, Mark Hall. That's right. He's coming to, we're flying him out, downloadyouthministry.com, flying him out for dinner with Doug and I, a couple of
where are you guys taking him?
You know what? Can we say?
I don't know. Allison, law firm?
We're taking him out for a really nice steak.
Here's the deal. Three people.
Mm-hmm. He had to become a yearly member or existing yearly member.
We had a contest. You become a member.
You guys
member.
Are asking each other.
No, I know it. I know it. John,
I'm pretending I don't know. So it gives Doug an excuse to talk about our membership.
Josh,
ready? Go.
Josh rarely, we ever rarely see him in the Download Youth Ministry offices because he has a real job here.
Someday.
Here's the deal: is if you became a yearly member in December,
okay,
we did a drawing.
Cool.
Mark won. Boom.
If you became a yearly member in January, we did a drawing. Bam.
Mark won again. Boom. No, he didn't.
Oh.
And if you were an existing DYM member, because we didn't want our existing people to be burned by that,
right?
So we drew three names.
Did my dad win?
No,
oh, no, he didn't.
Man, that
could have
been great. No,
but Jason didn't win because he's not a member.
So we have Allison, help us out. We have somebody coming in from Nashville. Somebody
Seattle.
Seattle. Arizona. Seattle, Arizona.
San Diego. The woman coming from
the middle state.
Sorry. The middle states. You know, Indiana, Illinois, Michigan.
Michigan.
They call that the Midwest.
They call them. They call them not California. All right, fine.
Yeah. Not California.
Wow. So geography's not our strength. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we're flying them to California for steak.
Putting them up. Josh and I are taking the five of us going out to dinner.
It's
very fancy steakhouse.
Fancy.
We'll take pictures.
When should
we'll
I show up, guys?
Yes. You show up for dessert.
Yeah, 8 o'clock
when
for
the
dessert.
Rest of the Download Youth, every Download Youth Ministry staff wants to be a part of this.
Yeah.
And we're like, you know, if dinner gets more than five, it's going to be too big. So,
But you guys.
We'll
talk after the show. Okay. Yeah. It's good.
We'll see how much influence you've got.
Yeah, hey, sometimes you have to step up and have a hard conversation with your volunteers.
Wow. That was
okay, let's end on this. Ready? You've got a five-second answer.
Okay,
this
five
is
seconds.
From Sean.
Hi, Sean.
Gujadah.
Jedi?
No, how do you... Oh. Come on, you guys. Send us questions.
There, 5 seconds are up. That's it. You're done.
Give us the pronunciation if you have a crazy last name. There is a... Let me just read you one.
Oh, boy.
We'll get to that, but there's somebody sent in and said, I've been out of youth ministry for a while. I got back into youth ministry. He's been out of youth ministry for a while, gets back in. As I jump back in, I thought I'd better become a rewinder and get caught up. After all, shouldn't I share this next step in my journey with the team, with my families, with friends at DYM? In the first episode I listened to in my journey to get caught back up, Doug read a question I sent in via Twitter, and he said my last name wrong three times. I've never felt more welcome back in my life. Please don't read my name. You couldn't do it right anyways.
That's fantastic.
That's the best.
So that's from Posh Shock Rock.
or whatever.
All right, so here's how we're ending. All you got to do is one. Here it is.
Okay.
What are the Golden Calf Youth Ministry ideas that student ministers need to feel okay saying no to in order to achieve work-life balance? So, like, is it retreats, attending games, visiting campuses during lunch? Just what's a quick thing? Like, I can say no to that.
What's a golden calf? Like,
Moses threw the Ten Commandments into the...
I mean, but we would consider those things that...
That these
false, idol, false idols.
These have been built up. These have been built up to be something, but you know,
okay.
I need to get home.
False and, idols.
Whatever.
Okay. So this is a part. I want to understand the question. Is it part of the normal workday or like something on your calendar that you're trying to eliminate?
Just turn this last question into a nightmare, Jason.
I don't know what it is.
Why don't we do this? The three of us will answer, and you just make something up. all right. We'll see how you do. Here we go. Based on our answers, let's see how you do.
Okay.
Ready?
All right. I would say ditch going to FCA. Ditch jumping into the school in the middle of the day. That's something that you can give up and you'll be okay.
Yep. Okay.
Parachurch stuff, you'll be all right.
I would give up any kind of overnighter lock-in, anything like that. Ditch it or not be a part of it.
Let small groups do them instead.
Totally.
I'm same with Katie. I wouldn't do a lock-in. I wouldn't do an all-nighter
Can't
pay me enough to do an all-nighter anymore.
New Year's Eve event? Get rid of that. Get it out. No. Mm-hmm. We did it 5 years ago. Never
so,
again.
No. Give up carbs and sugar?
Great show, everybody.
That was great. Great to be with you. Send your questions to webshowdownloadyouthministry.com.
The
best people in the world right around this table, right around me. So grateful for you guys. That's show 287 brought to you by the legal firm of Allison and Hibbard.
We're out.
Elliot, how do we sound?